Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my friends. I'm Eric Olson, and it's time once again for America's Most Haunted Radio, bringing together the finest minds and personalities from across the paranormal spectrum. On this edition of AMH Radio, we talk with haunted music pioneers, Midnight Syndicate. For almost two decades, composers Edward Douglas and Gavin Gosga have been known as Midnight Syndicate, creating symphonic soundtracks to imaginary films that facilitate a transcendental and adventurous escape into the secret dimensions of the mind's eye. To many of their fans, they are gothic music pioneers, brewing a signature blend of orchestral horror music and movie-style sound effects. To others, they remain the first haunted house band that forever changed the Halloween music genre and became a staple of the October holiday season. After 17 years, 14 studio albums, 3 soundtracks, and a motion picture, Midnight Syndicate teamed up with the world-famous amusement park Cedar Point to launch their first live performances. Midnight Syndicate Live Legacy of Shadows, a multimedia horror-themed concert blending live music, theater, and film. Welcome, Ed and Gavin.
Hey.
Hello. Great to be here.
Great to have you here. How fun is this? This is the first time we have ever spoken, though we are virtual neighbors in Northeast Ohio.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? It is. Absolutely. Especially given all of our similar interests.
It is amazing. Well, I've been following you guys really for quite a while. I remember, I think I just ran into one of those early CDs just in a store, and I thought, ooh, that looks super cool. Oh, look, they're from Chardon. That is amazing. And I picked it up, and it was everything it purported to be. And I've been a big fan ever since. We always go the first day that they start bringing in the Halloween stuff, at the Odyssey down in Aurora, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so they bust out the soundtrack, and we always go in there and talk about it and tell them to play Midnight Syndicate, and it's always there being featured up on the counter. It's an amazing thing. Well, for people who aren't familiar with you guys, let's just do a little bit of background on your career. How'd you get together? How did all of this amazing stuff come about?
Well, I think the idea from the very beginning was to create these CDs that would be soundtracks to imaginary films. And we're going to do that by blending, you know, mostly instrumental music with sound effects. Because when you take those two things and you put it together, you can really create some really cool pictures in your mind. The instrumental music like you hear in a film and those sound effects like from the old radio dramas of, you know, yesteryear. Gavin and I both have a real strong interest in horror, the supernatural, these kind of dark themes, and a little bit of fantasy as well, fantasy themes like, you know, inspired by Dungeons & Dragons and stuff. So most of the things that we do creatively just tend to go that way. So here you have these soundtracks to imaginary films that are very dark and horror themed, and the perfect way to get that out there was, you know, just through to find our audience, you know, was of course the gothic music fans, but also Halloween time. And you know, good for us at the time for Halloween, there just was not much Halloween music out there when we started doing this. There was really just sound effects cassettes from like the 50s that they were recycling, and Monster Mash compilations, more like party music. And so we kind of, you know, set out to create these CDs, but also be aware that they would make perfect background music for Halloween events and Halloween parties and haunted houses and people that were looking to create dark atmosphere at whatever event or thing they were doing. It could be working for all, you know, but what people are looking to set dark atmosphere. So we just went after it, and we have been putting out these CDs for almost 17 years now, and just expanding with each one, exploring different, you know, worlds, and it's been a great ride, and it's been wonderful.
I'm very interested in the career aspects, the business aspects, because as far as I know, you guys have done all of this on your own independently, and of course, these days, that's not unusual with all of the various outlets available via the internet, digital media, and whatnot. But when you guys started, that was still a very unusual and rather risky approach.
It was. And especially because we were, you know, we were producing this CD that, you know, to certain people, we were selling it as Halloween music. So the very few record labels we were able to contact, you know, even when we posted some nice numbers our first year, they weren't interested. They didn't see, like, Halloween music, what is that? So no record label would even, you know, would really pick us up. So we had to do it on our own. But from the very beginning, that was where we decided to do it. You know, we knew if we're going to make something happen and make this our livelihood, make this our, you know, full-time job, we're going to spend a lot of time on the business side. And that's what we did. We went out, Gavin and I were driving around that first Halloween all across Northeastern Ohio with these CDs and hand-delivering them to that place, to the Odyssey, that display that you saw up there. We delivered our first display to Mark down there back in 98, the first year, and we went around all the bookstores and all the Halloween stores and did that. That's how we did it the first year. And then after that, had some success with the sell-through on those. So we contacted them next year. And then the following year, we went to a trade show and started selling nationally. Just from that, you know, just doing that business side, you know, going out there and hustling, contacting the stores, and really just making that a big part of what we do has been able to, you know, allow us to sell enough CDs to make this our full-time gig for this time, which is a really cool thing.
Yeah, I'd say it's an amazing thing, actually. Now, it seems like the way you've really grown and spread like a fungus, a super cool fungus, is by really dialing into that whole Halloween enterprise, whether it be the haunted houses, whether it be getting in on soundtracks. I know you do soundtracks yourselves, but as far as I know, I think you've also been included in some other horror soundtracks. How did you insinuate yourselves into that much larger, greater Halloween industry from those beginnings?
Well, I think there's you know, a natural tie-in right there. I mean, it's, you know, it's dark, spooky music and stuff, and it just, you know, everybody's looking for something like that around Halloween time. So I think, you know, right off the bat, you know, we just kind of hit a chord. And like Ed said before, there wasn't a lot out right, you know, when we started doing this. So people that were looking for something to just kind of put on, you know, to set the mood for like their Halloween party or like a home haunt, or certainly for commercial haunts, it kind of fit the bill really, really well. So I think it was more of a natural partnership right from the beginning.
And one of the things that we noticed is early on, the big amusement parks and the big professional haunted houses also had the same problem with music. The options were not very big unless you started maybe pulling from old horror movie scores, which can get tricky legally, you know, if you're charging for admission to your haunt. So when we came in there, our goal was to put out a CD, a Halloween atmosphere CD that was, I mean, the quality was really, really good. That was our goal. So that when people put this on, they're like, they could hear the quality when we're doing it. It would just blow away any other kind of CDs and music that was out there, like it at the time. And we were able to do that, you know, with our CDs. And that just immediately got us into so many haunted houses. Everywhere across the country, because word got out, hey, there's some music that you could use for your haunted house, and it sounds really cool. And word just got out, and before you knew it, we were like, I'll say this, that the editor of Haunted Attraction magazine, which was the big magazine for the industry, had said that he felt that 75% to 90% of all the haunts out there had at least one Midnight Syndicate CD. That's how big we got into that little, it's a little niche market, right? But we were that, we really kind of took over that early on. And you know how tied in the haunted houses are to Halloween and the celebration of the holidays for so many people. So that was huge in pulling us into that Halloween world that you're talking about, that Halloween, the bigger game plan. The haunted houses were a big part of that. The amusement parks were a big part of that, working with Halloween Horror Nights and Cedar Point and all these big parks. That's what helped us in a big way getting out there.
You guys found a niche and fully exploited it. But you still had to have the goods. You had to have the quality, and you had to have the sound quality, not just your musical ability and compositional ability. How did you guys know how to do that level of production so early on? What were your backgrounds leading up to that?
I think both of us come from slightly different backgrounds. I was trained in the conservatory of music locally, actually out at Baldwin Wallace for 4 years. So I kind of brought to the table, a lot of that orchestration knowledge or whatever experience, having done it for a couple of years. But as far as the quality, I think it's been kind of a steady growth process, from the beginning. You kind of try some things out and you learn from trial and error, and as technology, of course, improves, that'll improve things too. But, I can look back at a couple of albums in particular as being real definitive as far as like stepping our sound forward. Gates of Delirium was the first one. That was the first time we actually really, really brought in a lot of the sound effects and tried to create more complete atmospheres instead of just songs. That album plays like, it almost plays like a movie. You can kind of picture, in your head what's going on from the start to the finish. And then certainly for the 13th Hour as well, I think we kind of stepped it up again on that one. That we spent probably just as much time doing the sound effects. We did, basically everything ourselves, for that than as we did for the music, as we did for writing the music. I think, but it's been a steady growth process,
Yeah, and I started in, even though I've been doing music my whole life, it was mostly rock bands. Until college, when I studied film and theater primarily, and I would write the scores to the student films that I was doing. So that kind of, for the songs that I write for Midnight Syndicate, that's where that's where it all came from, writing these scores to these student films and just getting to know, the keyboard more and more, but also in doing those films, I would often have to do a little bit of sound design, and I worked in radio. So I was just kind of in tune with the whole radio dramas, and there were some being produced that we would play on our these radio dramas that we'd play on WJCU. It's a college station here in Cleveland that I worked at. But I think I just picked up some stuff about sound design from listening to those radio dramas that we used to play. And working in that area, and I think it just gave us a little bit of experience to get through that initial those initial discs, and then it, just like Gavin said, you learn so much each time out, and it was just, it's been a process. I feel like Carnival Arcane, a CD that we released maybe a year, it's been 2 years now, another stepping stone for us, where I feel like we took our sound and our music to a whole nother level. So I guess you're always learning and hoping, just trying to push yourself each time out to do better.
Absolutely. What are your relative roles in the production and the creation of the music process?
We both handle all the writing. We actually write independently. A lot of people are surprised to find that out. But we keep in contact during the whole process. So what we'll do is we'll come up with ideas on our own. We both have separate studios, and then we'll bring them together at various points and say, okay, what do we have? What don't we have? Does this work? Does that not work? That kind of thing, and then kind of go about developing those ideas and arranging them and everything, and then we'll always work together on mixing, to make sure everything sounds consistent and it's kind of living up to what we want, sonically and everything like that. So it's a collaborative process, but there's parts of it which which we do independently.
Yeah, since Born of the Night, Gavin and I have written and arranged all of the music on all of the albums. There's only one song that we didn't write, which is on Realm of Shadows, and that was written by our engineer at the time, Tim Blue, who's a good friend of ours. Tim Blue was also instrumental probably in helping with that creative process early on, because he was in the studio with us as we were, developing that sound and just kind of getting these different sounds and equipment to work together and sound good. But since then, it's really been Gavin and I. We've been our own, producers and kind of handle everything.
A self-contained unit. Boy, I am really excited about this whole live show concept. And you guys know the story. We were right in the whole season, the whole Halloween season was exactly when we were in the process of maniacally promoting our new book. That's with Teresa and I, of course.
Congratulations.
The world famous haunted housewife, and that's America's Most Haunted. So we were just running around, and the only time that we could get out there, my family, was literally Halloween. And so finally, we get out there. The weekend before, it's like 70 degrees and sunny. We get out there on Friday, Halloween night. We're all excited. We're ready to go. It's 38 degrees, gale force winds, pouring rain. Unbelievable. We go to the gate. We go to the ticket counter. They go, don't bother, man. Just turn around and go home. As it turned out, your show was inside. I thought it was outside. They thought it was outside.
There was some confusion because there's a show right across the street from us that is an outdoor show located in the same section of the park. So it did cause some confusions. Yes. But yes, we were. It was inside. Which is one of the good things when it did rain and stuff like that. We offered people a safe haven. Until, of course, to get inside the theater.
This is one of my life's great regrets, I'll have you know.
Well, I'll be honest with you. The show that we did at Cedar Point was an incredible success. I don't think that Gavin and I could be more happy with how it turned out. Not only how it came out once we finally executed our plans, but with the response from the people there, from the attendance, which is, kind of a direct result of, people enjoying it and talking it up to their friends. So this live show is definitely going to be a part of our business, of the business of Midnight Syndicate going forward. Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. So you will have more opportunities to see this show. People have been asking us if we're going to release a DVD of this show, and I don't think we have any immediate plans to do that because what we really want to do is take this show to everyone out there across the country so they could see it live and in person and get that same exciting feeling that people get the first time they see it because there's some pretty cool things in the show that are really neat to experience live firsthand.
So let's give people a bit of a description of the show itself, people who weren't able to make it, at Cedar Point, like, say, me. Why don't you tell people, what it's about, what's included, and equally importantly, how did you put it together? I mean, how did you decide what format and how long and what tunes and all that? Because it is a multimedia presentation. It's not just a concert per se.
Yeah, that's very true. It's not just the two of us like standing up on stage, playing keyboards for a half an hour, 20 minutes or whatever. But we kind of intended that right from the beginning when we first started talking about doing anything live. We knew that we wanted it to be a lot more immersive than that, where there's a lot to watch visually and a lot to listen to and a lot of different elements and stuff. So what it is the music, of course, but there's also film, original film. There's like acting on stage. We used a live singer that really, really helped, bring the songs up to it, give them a different life. So there's a lot going on. I don't want to give any spoilers away, of course, but there's a lot of different elements going on. A lot of people that saw the show wanted to come back more than once. Many times, some of them came back like time and time again because they'd say, well, I didn't see that the first time, or gee, I didn't realize the tie in there between this and that. Okay, now that makes sense now. So it really does, it's a lot. There's a lot going on in it.
I would say that in addition to being a concert, it really is, there is a story that runs throughout the entire experience. And it is paranormally influenced, I should say. And I think that's also a big part of the show, that there is a storyline, and that adds another element to the experience and stuff like that. And that's going to be something I think constant with our productions going forward and stuff like that. Having some sort of story that kind of propels the show along.
Very interesting. Well, how exciting is it for you guys after all this time, 17 years? to suddenly have this live component. It's like you, it's like you've gone three-dimensional after being two-dimensional all this time.
Mm. Right on.
It is. It's very exciting, and it feels like really kind of like a culmination. One of the projects that brought Gavin and I together, there were several, was that before Gavin and I started working on Midnight Syndicate together, there was like a self-titled debut album that was more like a solo project for me. And to promote that album, I actually produced a multimedia show that once again involved live music and film and actors and the basis, just the general basis of this show that we just did was that the core that started with that idea, that show that was done all those years ago, which was the event that Gavin came to and saw, and it's where we kind of said, hey man, we can work together on stuff going forward, because he liked the darker elements of that show that were in there. So between that and then, you know, working on the film, The Dead Matter, it really feels, and I think for Gavin too, performing like live as he has on his other projects that he's been working on, it felt like this was everything coming full circle. And I apologize for taking too long with this answer, but the beauty of this whole thing that makes it so exciting is because it feels like things coming full circle. It feels like we're really kicking on all cylinders because we're using all the experience that we've picked up over the years to make this show. Our experience in live music, our experience in composing, the filmmaking, the theater, all of it coming together to create something really cool. We have, you know, tons of talented people that we've met in the haunted house industry and in the movie industry, again, just because of the projects we're working on. That also takes the project up to another level. Screamline Studios, a Painesville-based company that works in the haunted house industry, designed our set. It was amazing. We met them only through this experience, this journey we've been on, and it's great. And the makeup and the film segments that you see, 5 to 9 films, Robert Kurtzman's Creature Corps, all Ohio-based people, extremely talented makeup effects artist David Greathouse, Becky Ingram. These are all people that we met only through this journey. So having them all be a part of it, having them all be able to contribute to this show has been amazing because you really feel like things have come full circle then. Not only are you using all your resources, but you're also utilizing all the people that you've wanted to work with over the years or you've met. And it becomes a real huge collaborative process, and it's awesome.
Well, it's very holistic. It's like you're your own planet. Planet Midnight Syndicate.
I like it.
Yeah.
With all the gravity, and your gravity gets larger and larger as you suck in more and more elements. Speaking of film, tell us about The Dead Matter.
The Dead Matter was a project that I worked on. I was told you earlier how I used to score my own student films. My first project out of college was actually this movie called The Dead Matter. And it's about a magical amulet that raises and controls the dead. And it has vampires in it. So it's a mix of a lot of different things. It's a real story-based horror film. Lots of twists and turns. Anyway, so I released this. It's a micro-budget film, out of college. And one of my biggest regrets was I was always hoping that I could, at some point in time, I really liked the story, but I knew we were limited by the technology at the time. Because remember, that was like 94, 95. We were using Super VHS, and the quality was just really tough, audio and visual-wise, if you didn't have a budget. Anyway, what happened is, like, I'd always dreamed of possibly doing The Dead Matter again with an actual budget, just so people could watch the film and enjoy the story. That opportunity, again, came along years later when I met Robert Kurtzman. Robert Kurtzman moved to Cleveland with his company, Robert Kurtzman's Creature Corps, Precinct 13 Entertainment, down in Crestline, Ohio, which is near Mansfield. Here we have this Hollywood producer and effects guy moving into our backyard. And his first movie that he did in Ohio was called The Rage. And it's a crazy, gore-soaked film about, like, mutant vultures and everything. It's just a lot of fun. But he had approached us to do the soundtrack, the score to that film, which we did. And that kind of led to me handing him the script for the Dead Matter, like a reboot of it. And he agreed to get on board. And so between him and, again, you know, David Greathouse and that whole team over there and everybody putting everybody together, we were able to, you know, actually put together a proposal to make the Dead Matter an actual film version of the Dead Matter. And so we raised the money from investors in Ohio, one or two in L.A., but almost entirely Ohio investors. And we made this movie called The Dead Matter. We shot it near the Mansfield Reformatory and in Crestline, Ohio, and in Mansfield. And it's, you know, it was just, you know, the script was better than the original. You know, you had all these years to, like, make the script better. And it's a fun movie. It's not overly scary. It's not overly gory. But if you like older style horror films, which are clearly a big influence for us, and if you like story-driven horror films and you're okay with a little bit of fun interjected into your horror films, well, then The Dead Matter is definitely something for you. The response was really great, and it's been just one of those experiences on the Midnight Syndicate journey that was really neat. And certainly everything that we learned from doing The Dead Matter a second time came into play when we did these shows at Cedar Point this past year.
Oh, I would imagine. Yeah, it's just another continent on Planet Midnight Syndicate. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, but before we do that, another thing you guys do super, super well is interact with your fans and with the world at large. Let's let people know, what are all your contact availabilities, website, social media, etc. Whip it on them.
All right, MidnightSyndicate.com is the website. But if you go onto Facebook and you look up Midnight Syndicate, you'll find us there. We're also on Twitter, and we reply to everything. We really try and stay on top of those things. So if you have a question, you can always message us at either one of those areas. We also are starting to get into Instagram and all the other little ones, and go on Google Plus and everything. But certainly Facebook and Twitter are our big ones, and the website.
America's Most Haunted, The Secrets of Famous Paranormal Places is now an epic book from Berkeley Penguin. History, legends, investigations, interviews, and profiles of America's 10 Most Haunted Hotspots by Eric Olson and haunted housewife Teresa Argee. Be sure to join us on Twitter and Facebook at AM Haunted, Pinterest at America's Most Haunted, and our website, americas-most-haunted.com. And here every week on America's Most Haunted Radio with all the top names in the paranormal field. Hey, guys, I'm really interested in a much more subjective side, and that is, what is it about the whole Halloween ethos? What is the appeal of the spooky to each of you that you have literally dedicated your professional and creative lives to it?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. I think for me, it's more just the mystery, you know, kind of plumbing the depths of the unknown in a way, you know, and all the things that could possibly be out there that you don't see, that you don't know about for sure, that kind of thing. I mean, I've been I used to do ghost hunting as kind of a hobby for a number of years. I don't have, unfortunately, much time to do it anymore, but that was, you know, it was fun to just, you know, kind of get involved in different groups and stuff and hear different theories about what could possibly be out there and how it would manifest and what it's possible, you know, what can do, you know, things can do and stuff like that. So I don't know. I think it's more of a fascination with just the unknown and the mysterious for me.
Yeah, I mean, Gavin really said it well. I feel the same way. There's something that's about horror and the paranormal that has always sparked my imagination, like nothing else, really. It's just there's something about it. When I was young, I would get the same books out of the library, and there were all the books about the Universal monster movies and the True Life Ghost Story books. And I would just get the same ones over and over and read them over and get the albums where they're reading Edgar Allan Poe and play them and listen to the stories. There's just something about that from as early as I can remember, I had a fascination with. So everything that I did creatively had that just naturally. I didn't work at it, just naturally had that angle to it. Everything I did, my first movies as a kid, you know, were spooky in quotes, like horror themed, like little projects and stuff like that. So I think it's just something, man, there's something about it. And the limitlessness of it is just appealing.
What are your personal beliefs in the paranormal? How does that fit into your broader metaphysical foundations?
You know, I come from a background of science more than anything, so I kind of, you know, take more of the skeptic's approach, or I have in the past. But that being said, I also like to try and keep a really open mind about things. I don't think that science can explain everything, you know, in the world today. I think there's a lot of things out there that we don't know about or don't have answers to, which is probably a good thing. It keeps people kind of plumbing the depths and such, as it were. I don't know. I mean, I kind of went into ghost hunting with more of a curious skepticism. You know, do I believe what I see? You know, hardcore, I do believe that ghosts do exist. I don't know. I mean, I saw some weird things on film. I got some weird things on audio, you know, that kind of make you scratch your head and go, I wonder how that could have gotten there. But I'm still leaving that doorway open. I'm not going to lock myself in and say, yeah, absolutely. You know, I haven't seen that kind of concrete proof yet. You know, until the ghost of Beethoven shows up in front of me and says, hey, you know, write this song this way or something, or here's my lessons on theory. You know, I don't know. It's kind of a tough thing to pin down exactly. Yeah.
I feel like, I'm with Gavin on the fact that I have an open mind to just try and keep an open mind to everything. You know, I think, I really believe that that's just something I am with everything in my life. Just try and keep an open mind, look at all the different options and the different things that people bring to the table, or, you know, experiences that come your way or that you hear about and stuff like that. I'm always trying to learn and just trying to, even though it's difficult for me sometimes, just talk less and just listen and hear what people are saying and stuff like that. And you can learn a lot that way. And your world is broadened every time you listen to, you know, someone else telling their story or sharing experiences.
Have you guys had any paranormal experiences, or what you would characterize as such?
You know, I had a couple of strange things happen. You know, I've caught some oddities, if you want to call them that, on a film, you know, and during EVP sessions a couple of times. But one of the stranger things, I was working, I used to do home renovations, like historic. I'm big into the Victorian era, and I was working on a local hospital back in the day, renovating it and kind of bringing it back to life. And there myself, you know, and stuff, and down in the basement, which was an inherently creepy area. I had workmen, in fact, tell me several times that they didn't like working down there because it just gave them the willies, you know. It was just a creepy area. But anyway, I was working down there one time myself, and I felt something tug the back of my shirt. I had a work shirt on that was like untucked, you know. And if you'd seen this basement, there's nothing it could have gotten caught on. I mean, it was like wide open, the room that it was in. There was no breeze blowing. I didn't have the windows open, you know, or anything like that. You know, and there weren't that many windows in there anyway, so there's not a chance of there being much of a cross breeze. And it was this distinct feeling of like something tugged on my shirt, and I kind of like stopped what I was doing, and I'm like, well, that's interesting. And I just kept on working, and I was waiting for it to happen again or something else to happen, but nothing did, unfortunately.
I think I had, when I went to Rider's Inn, which is a haunted inn near Painesville, which is right near in our backyard, right? And I just remember going into one room and having a very weird sensation. It turned out that was one of the more haunted rooms in the place, where somebody had killed themselves in. And it was just, but that was just a feeling, a sensation. It was, you know, though I do remember it to this day. I just had my first like really weird experience, and that was, I was down here in the dungeon, as I call it, here at Midnight Syndicate Studios, where the studio is and everything, and Yeah, it was late at night, but not too late. And I was just finishing things up, and my wife, before she goes off to bed, always whistles down to me to let me know that she's going upstairs. And so I was down here, and I very, very, very clearly heard that like a whistle noise, like that sound, so clearly that I yelled back up the stairs and said, "Yes, coming up in a second." And I mean, it was like there was no doubt in my mind. Like it sounded urgent, so I had to yell. And then when I finally walked upstairs, I saw that all the lights in the house were off, and that everybody had already gone to bed up on the top floor and had been there for a long time. So that is the first time that I've had an experience where I'm just like, "Well, I don't even know what just happened." I'm officially, that was weird. That was strange. So that's my first experience, and it only happened in the last 3 months.
Interesting. Do you know any background on that building? Is that also your house?
Yes and no. I don't. It was not, it's like a newer construction. So that's, I find that curious. Yeah. It was. It's enough that I'd share that story because I was like, "Wow, that was weird." Because I definitely heard something. Yeah. It wasn't like, "Oh, did I hear that out of my?" You have that happen all the time, or maybe the door creaks, or you hear the house settling. Our old house, where the dungeon used to be located back in where I grew up in Chardon, that house just was loaded with sounds and crazy stuff happening, all the time. I figured I just attributed to the house settling, but this was a much more distinct sound, and it was just strange. And the fact that I yelled up the stairs, I was that confident at that time that I heard it. That was just strange for me. It's the first time it's happened.
That was truly anomalous. Very interesting. Well, it seems like to me, some of these feelings that you guys have, I know it's hard to express in words. It's kind of all rather ineffable. I think what's going on and why you're so successful within the genre is you are able to translate those feelings, that sense of mystery, that sense of the uncanny, through your music. So I think that is your medium. That is your language. The music is where you're able to express that sense. Maybe the spirit or whatever it was whistling down was just saying, "Hey, you guys rule."
that's excellent, and that is what I would like to think. Yes, I'm going to stick with that. Absolutely. It is true. That is where we pull from. That's where I pull from the inspiration for the music that I contribute to Midnight Syndicate. It's from that and horror films or stories, and books and stuff like that. When we're getting ready to write for an album, I'll just immerse myself in horror films just nonstop and reading short stories, especially, or digging into my tales from the comic books and just getting into that frame of mind. So we're pulling from all those life experiences and these other artists' work to inspire us. So that would make a lot of sense what you just said.
So in an absolute best case scenario, where do you guys see yourself down the road? What would be the absolute, absolute peak without concerning yourself with the vicissitudes of reality? What would be the ideal situation down the road?
I like that word.
Man, I got words galore. I have been speaking words for a number of years.
Well, I don't think anybody's ever asked us that question.
Yeah, that's very true. Boy.
You going to take this one, Gavin?
I'm trying to think, actually.
It's very difficult, and honestly, I don't think, having never been asked that question before, I know exactly how. I don't know exactly how I want to answer that. I think
my evil plan.
Yeah. Well, I will say this much. I really enjoyed doing the live show, and it was very rewarding for me on a lot of different levels. It felt really, like I said, like things coming around full circle, where Gavin Town had a lot of side projects that he's worked on. My side projects that I've worked on over the years have really all been around theater and film.
And so for me to be able to take that experience and actually turn it into something very good for Midnight Syndicate, you know, was really gratifying for me. So when I look ahead, I would love for the show that we're doing to continue to grow and become larger and larger. And really we want to become that, you know, the music I feel is like a fixture for a lot of people's Halloween season. Perhaps the live show is the next step in that, the live show becoming a bigger part of the Halloween season and going and taking that bigger.
It's weird because the music industry is so different now. I mean, it changed a number of years ago, or started changing a number of years ago. But, you know, back in the day, it was all about, like, oh, how many CDs can we sell? You know, I mean, that was kind of a measure of your success. If you got a gold album or a platinum album or whatever, oh, man, oh, you know, you must really be doing something, you know. But I don't think those measures just aren't there anymore. I mean, you know, how many people actually sell 500,000 albums anymore? You know, if you're talking about physical copies, certainly, or even combining it with downloads. So I think the landscape has changed too, where your goals as a musician might change along with that. You know, maybe it's more about like artistry and just kind of seeing, you know, what you really want to do brought to life instead of, you know, more of a markety, salesy kind of thing. You know, I mean, I don't know. There's probably a lot of people that have been able to marry both of them together all along anyway. But it's just interesting seeing how that's changed and the opportunities and the obstacles that it's presented along the ways. You know, you're forced to kind of think outside the box a lot more now, where it's not like, okay, we can just sit back and sell some CDs and it's all good. And there we go. There's our career. Now it's kind of like, well, maybe we do a live show. Maybe we do try this or that, or license this song to this company that we would have never thought to work with before. It's really interesting.
So that live show, that idealized live show, is that something that you could tour with, or would you have to be set up in a theater kind of like you did at Cedar Point?
Don't know. Wouldn't it be ideal to have a show that you can I think we're talking ideal here. Yeah, certainly a show that you can tour and take. I want to play Germany. We need to take this out to the people that are outside of the tri-state area here and stuff like that. And so, absolutely. A show that we can actually play in different places and stuff like that. I think that's got to be one of your goals. Taking the music to the people wherever they may be.
You mentioned,
I should say that also creating CDs. Gavin and I still have so many ideas in our head and so many themes we haven't even touched. I don't want to make it seem like live show is everything for us. We still have music that we want to create too, but they're not mutually exclusive. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
It can all be done. It can all be done, and I think we plan on doing a mix of things.
Very cool. You mentioned Germany. Do you guys have particular geographic regions where you're particularly popular in the world?
Well, one of the cool things is we did this Dungeons & Dragons CD. And back in like 2003 now, that was a result of the fact that we're fairly popular with role-playing game, people that play role-playing games, because they use our music just like a haunted house would. They use our music for atmosphere while they're playing their games, while the dungeon master is weaving this story and the players are playing. Having movie-style music and dark atmosphere behind totally enhances the game. It makes the players feel like they're in a movie and it's actually happening right there. It's a really cool thing for game masters that do it right. And so we have a really good following in the role-playing game industry. A really good one. And there's the biggest show for gaming in the world is this show over in Essen, Germany, which is near Dusseldorf on the west side of Germany, and it's called Spiel. And I've been going out there to work that show since 2002, I want to say, so like 12 years or so. So we had a little bit of a following over there when I went over because of the gaming side of things and just because gothic music is popular over there. But that show helped us build a base over there in West Germany and helped our music get out there. So like, you know, Netherlands, Belgium, they're all like right in the same, very close to each other. And so I want to say that show and going there over the years has, you know, simply opened up more opportunities to us, to get to people out there. And, that we have a following over there now, that we'd be able to play shows is, very realistic that, and in the UK. Just, you know, that's, we talk about goals and stuff like that. That's definitely one of them.
Cool. Very, very interesting. Well, what a pleasure to talk with you guys, as I was saying. I mean, I've been a fan. I just kind of, I've always been a music guy one way or another. I've been a writer, I've been covering it, you know, just using it to DJ with. Recently, after about 30 years off, returned to actually playing myself and have this fun family-centered band where we cruise around Northeast Ohio and get to rock out in bars and have people nice. Jump up and down. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, it's fun. It's awesome.
So, yeah, I mean, the fact that I just stumbled across you guys and then just started seeing you and, you know, kind of all over the place. And I've always had an interest, even when I wasn't actively involved in covering the paranormal world. That's a fairly recent thing for me. And that's coming full circle. You were talking about feeling like full circle. I had had a number of very intense experiences when I was quite young. And just in retrospect, I think I turned it off at a certain point because I just didn't want to deal with it anymore. So later in life, I'm kind of circling back in various areas. But anyway, musically, I've always really enjoyed what you guys do and just thought it was the coolest thing that you were, you know, right here in the area and that you had been able to pursue this on your own and sort of control your own destiny, because that is something that, I mean, everyone wants to be able to do, but really not all that many people are able to do. So congratulations on carving out this career for yourselves in a very, very difficult field, just speaking of music and the entertainment world in general, and being able to stay based here. A lot of people think, well, you know, you got to go to one of the showbiz capitals if you're going to try to do it yourselves, but you guys have been able to do it all from right here.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. We appreciate that. And we appreciate you having us on, for sure.
Yeah.
It's nice to, you know, not a lot of our interviews talk about the business side of it, so it's nice to talk a little bit about that, too, because that's been a big part of what we do, you know. I think that, you know, if you're going to make it in the entertainment industry and you are going to make it, you know, try to make it your full-time job, I think, especially in music and stuff like that, at least for us, you have to spend insane hours on the business side of music. And that means not necessarily creating music or anything, creative. It's just, the marketing, the sales and all the business side of whatever you're doing creatively, I suppose.
Well, that's a core lesson and one that I think this current generation, I'm talking about, I guess what they're calling them, Gen Z, which is like born after 98, I think it is. Certainly people that young, they're pretty well aware of all the tools out there because they're so used to interacting and they're always connected and they're running around with their smartphones and doing their social media and whatnot. So I think this youngest generation, probably some of this will seem a lot more intuitive, but I think for everyone else, you know, people who are very creatively focused, they just don't realize how much of it is involved or how much is involved on that business side. You know, if you can't figure out how to support yourself one way or another, ideally via your creative enterprise, then you can't do it. Then it's just a hobby.
Yep. Yep.
So I am of equal admiration for your success in that regard as I am for your artistic endeavors. All right, well, let's let people know once again, how can they get a hold of you? And, you know, feel free to plug anything and everything you got going on.
Well, MidnightSyndicate.com is the website. So look us up. Definitely check us out on Facebook and Twitter. We do regular posts on both, and especially on Facebook. We have a fun page called Legions of the Night, which lists some of the some just fans, people that listen to our music and enjoy using it while they work and create things like books and artwork and photography and stuff like that. So there's really quite a cool collection of artists there. And you can get to that from our MidnightSyndicate.com site. Send us a message on Facebook if you have any questions. We answer all of those, and we really do a good job staying on top of that stuff. So we'd love to hear from you. And, Gavin, you have a project coming. As far as new projects, we'll have some announcements hopefully soon about what our plans are for next year, both musically and live show-wise, but nothing to announce yet. But Gavin does have something on one of his side projects.
Yeah, I started a Victorian music project a number of years ago called Parlor Muse, where I take basically songs that were written in the 19th century and, basically update them to modern kind of arrangements and that kind of thing. So there's a new release that's going to be coming out very, very soon from Parlor Muse, actually, probably in the next week or so. So hopefully a preview track's coming up on line today, in fact, on that.
And where can people find that?
That is www.parlormuse.com.
Very interesting. Hey, one thing we just haven't talked about, just real quick, what is your most recent band release, Midnight Syndicate release? And just give us a little taste of that, your thoughts on that. What's the topic? How is it different? That kind of thing.
Yeah, right on. Our most recent album is called Monsters of Legend, and it was a tribute to the Universal Monster movies and the Hammer horror films that followed them from the UK. The idea is that when you put on this Monsters of Legend CD and close your eyes, you are transported into the world of those classic horror films, where the sounds that you hear and the world that you're exploring, just kind of puts you into that world where, around the corner, the wolfman could be off in the distance. Or there's a castle up on the hill, and the vampire, Dracula could very well be up there, or perhaps Frankenstein's monster. That's the whole idea. When you put the CD on, there's a story that really will kind of come to you, and as you explore the village outside, and then go to the docks, and then finally explore the castle up on the hill. It's cool, immersive disc, and it's certainly become one of our most popular discs to date, which is always really nice when your most recent work gets that kind of acclaim, so it's great.
Well, I would think that live show probably opened you guys up to a whole new audience.
Yes, absolutely. I think it did. When you're playing at an amusement park, certainly there were a lot of Midnight Syndicate fans that came out for our run. Our fan base is spread all around literally all across the globe. So there's just so many people that weren't able to get out to the show. So I guess what I'm trying to say is there were an awful lot of people in every one of those shows that had never heard of Midnight Syndicate before. And hopefully we touched a lot of them and got them interested in hearing more and following us for future shows and stuff like that. So it was a really great experience. And working with Cedar Point was awesome. They're a great company, and they treated us really well.
Fantastic. Maybe someday I'll see the show.
Right. I have no doubt, Eric.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ed and Gavin. What a pleasure to speak with you. Really enjoyed it. As I said, I've been a fan for years and years and years. Oh, and thank you, by the way. You guys gave the America's Most Haunted book a real jolt and a vote of support. We really appreciated that very much.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, very eager to hear what's coming up next. We'll be waiting with bated breath on the announcement about forthcoming endeavors. And, of course, good luck to you, Gavin, on this new one. That sounds great. I will certainly be following up on that myself.
Thanks.
And again, what a pleasure speaking with you guys, and nothing but continued success in the future for Midnight Syndicate.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.